All right. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs. I want to stay on Roland Barbara mentioned. We were talking about 3 John verse 2 last week. I wish above all things, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. I want to talk a little bit more on the subject of prosperity today. Proverbs 10 verse 22 says this, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Praise God. The blessing of, so I want to talk about today the blessing of the Lord. This verse says the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And you think, now wait a minute, Pastor, he can't be talking about rich in terms of finances. He can't be talking about rich in terms of material things. Well, the Hebrew word for rich, which I didn't bother to look up what that word is and try to say it because you couldn't understand it and I'd be pronouncing it wrong anyway. But the Hebrew word for rich in this verse is the same Hebrew word that's used for rich in Genesis 14 and 23. This is after Abram, after he had rescued Lot. Remember the story, how he rescued Lot, the battle between the four kings and the five kings, and Abraham got his army and went and rescued Lot, and they recovered all the goods and everything. They took the spoils of the battle, and the king says, "Here, take all of this. Just give us our people back. You take all the stuff." And Abraham refused, and he said this in Genesis 14, 23. He said that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything today that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram what? Rich. Same word, rich. Same Hebrew word that's translated rich here is the same word in Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And so, well, what was he talking about here? Was he talking about material wealth here? He obviously was, wasn't he? He was obviously, the king of Sodom offered him all the spoils of the battle, and Abram said, no, I'm not going to take it, so you can't claim that you made Abram rich. Now, it wasn't that Abram didn't want to be rich. He just knew that he had another thing working where he'd be rich, and that was the blessing of the Lord. Amen. So we can affirm, we can confirm that this verse in Proverbs, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, is talking about material riches. All right. And that agrees with what we read last Sunday in our message over in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians. We read 2 Corinthians 9:8 for the offering. This is 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. It says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Now, yes, certainly, of course, Jesus, the price that Jesus paid for us and what Jesus did for us was spiritual blessing, was bringing spiritual life, bringing eternal life, bringing salvation, the new birth. And that's the most important thing. But the salvation that Jesus provided was an all-inclusive work. And this passage right here is talking about that he became poor materially that we might be made rich materially. And rich here means a full supply. It's his will that you have and live with a full supply. Amen? Praise God. And let's read it out of God's Word translation. We'll look at it here in God's Word. "It is the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich, and hard work adds nothing to it." It says he adds no sorrow with it in the New King James. Here in God's Word, it says it's the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich. What makes a person rich? The Lord's blessing. Can hard work add anything to it? No. Everybody said, oh, praise God, good, I can quit my job tomorrow morning. No. You know, hard work is working is important, but let's explain that. Let me explain this to you. You know, you hear this. You ever heard the statement, "Don't work harder, work smarter"? Right. Has anybody ever learned to do that? Yeah. It's good advice, isn't it? Yeah. Don't work harder, work smarter. Well, in this case, we could say it this way: don't work harder, Work blessed. Work blessed. Work conscious of, expecting, believing that the blessing of the Lord is over your work. Amen? Don't work harder, work blessed. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. It's right to work. The Bible commands us to work, and the Bible commends working. Let's look at some verses about that. Proverbs 13, 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. But he who gathers how? By labor. That sounds like work to me. But he who gathers by labor will increase. Increase what? Increase wealth. Wealth gained dishonestly, you're going to lose that. But if you gather by labor, then you're going to increase. So it's right to work. Amen. Proverbs 14, 23 says, in all labor, there's profit. But idle chatter leads only to poverty. You know, the people standing around saying what they're going to do. And then there's people that just get up and go to work. Yeah. Well, you know, I plan to do this. Well, you know, I think I might do that. And that's nice. You can sit around talking about that and go hungry. Or you can get up and go to work. Amen. In all labor, there's profit. Amen. Let's go to the New Testament. We could look in every chapter in the book of Proverbs and find scriptures like this and related to this. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, though, and look at verse 28, Ephesians 4, 28. Again, Paul came to Ephesus, and these pagans, these idol worshipers, these Gentiles that didn't know God, he came and preached the gospel to them. They were a wild, rough bunch. But now they're saved. Now they're born again. All right? And he's writing to them, and he's giving them instructions on how to live out the Christian life. And he says, let him who stole steal no longer. You guys have been out there stealing. No, we can't do that anymore. We're Christians now. We're saved now. We don't operate like that now. Let him who stole steal no longer. Well, what are you going to do then? Well, rather let him labor. Imagine that. Working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Again, that means you're going to have, as I mentioned in the offering, you're going to have an abundance and you're going to be able to help others and give. Amen? And then one more, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. He says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So, we know it's right to work. Amen? The Bible's clear about it. In fact, the word work is in the Bible 402 times. It's in there a lot. Labor is mentioned another 109 times. Did you realize, I didn't think about this till I was studying this, the commandment for the Sabbath is actually also a commandment to work. Look at what it says here in Deuteronomy 5:13. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So that's a command. The commandment of the Sabbath is really tied with it. There's a command to work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. And here's where the blessing comes in. That verse is still true. Now you think I've just disproved my opening scripture. When I said the blessing of the Lord makes rich and there's labor, hard work, doesn't add to it. Hard work adds nothing to it. No, I'm still saying that. I've not just disproved that by saying and sharing these scriptures with us about the importance of work. But here's where the blessing comes in, and here's where faith comes in. So God says, yes, you need to work. In fact, work 6 days out of seven. Our culture has cut that down to 5 days, you know, generally speaking. People have the week. How many of you think, well, you know, I do lots of work on Saturday, though, you know. A lot of folks do that around their house and their yard and all of that stuff. But our culture, generally speaking, is a 5-day work week. I know in some countries and some places here, they want to shorten that to 4 or 3 or whatever. But God says, work on 6 days, work 6 days out of seven, but take 1 day out of seven and do no work. Why? He said it's a day of rest. That's what God did when he set the pattern when he created everything, right? He created everything in 6 days. Pastor, do you believe it was 6 literal days? Well, the Bible says it is. Amen. Why should we argue with the plain text of the Bible? Amen. But now evolution. So, well, let me ask them this and ask you this. Were you there? No. That's another subject for another message, so we won't get lost in the weeds on that. But God did set the pattern. He created everything in 6 days, and then He rested on the seventh day, didn't He? He set that as a pattern. Amen? And so it's a day of rest, it's a day of worship, and it's an opportunity to remember that there's another factor to my prosperity. Yes, I go out and work 6 days and I labor, but that's not the only source of my prosperity, and that's not the only factor involved in my prosperity. I've got a God who is blessing me that is the source of my prosperity. And the blessing of God, it's the blessing of the Lord that makes me prosper. Amen? And what He's saying is, when He says hard work adds nothing, there's nothing that hard work can add to it, there's no amount of hard work that can do what the blessing can do in our lives. Amen? It's right to work. It's right to work hard. But you can't make up with hard work what you would forfeit not having the blessing of God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You know, Chick-fil-A set the pattern for that, didn't they? They're closed. My neighbor was with one of their executive vice presidents some time ago, and he asked him, Mr. Truett Cathy was still alive at the time, and my neighbor just shared this with me just the other day, and it's appropriate here. He says, how long? He said, let me ask you something. He said, how long? He said, after Mr. Cathy dies, how long will it be till they change the policy and that they start opening up on Sunday? And the executive vice president said, never. That will never change. Well, they've set an incredible standard, haven't they? Do you think it's working for just drive by during the week at breakfast time or lunchtime and see a double line of cars wrapped around the building? Amen. I think it's working for them pretty good. See, the other restaurants, the other chains are toiling more. We're going to be open on, and I, you know, I'm not mad. I'm glad some places are open Sunday. I'd go hungry. All right. What in you? Amen. They're toiling more being open on Sunday, but the founder of Chick-fil-A understood. I believe he understood that the blessing of the Lord was essential. Amen. To the success and the prosperity of the company. And by shutting down on Sunday, they're saying, Lord, we're depending on Your blessing. Amen. Amen. So again, what makes a person rich? Some of you seem not so sure about that. The blessing of the Lord. I mean, that's an emphatic statement in Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. So what is this blessing then? Is it luck? Is it something random, you know, that might happen to you in life? Maybe you have it, or maybe you don't have it, and if it does, do we just say, oh well, I guess I'm just blessed. I don't know. I can't explain it. I guess I'm just blessed. Is it just some random thing like luck, and maybe a few people, you know, get it and other people don't have it? Is that what it is? No. Or is it this? Is this blessing available to all? And do we have a part in activating this blessing and perhaps positioning ourselves to walk in the blessing of the Lord? I contend it's the latter. And I contend that the Scripture backs that up. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. Let's look at that. Deuteronomy 28, 8. It says, the Lord will do what? Command what? The Lord will command the blessing. Command the blessing. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He says the Lord will command the blessing on you in two places here. In two places where He's going to command the blessing. Number one, He said the Lord's going to command the blessing on you where? In your storehouses. In your storehouses. That would be your savings and your investments. Amen. Say, well, I don't have any. Well, you've just eliminated, you've just cut off one place for the Lord's blessing to rest then. Amen. Because he said, I'm going to command the blessing on you in your storehouse. You need to get one. If you don't have a storehouse, like Woody said in Toy Story 1, if you don't have a moving buddy, get one. If you don't have a storehouse, get one. All right. Amen. Start saving some money. Start investing some money. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God said he'd command the blessing on you. Well, I'm afraid to invest. I'm afraid I might lose it all. Look at what's happening in the stock market. It's up and down and all this. Well, with the blessing of the Lord, you won't. Let God guide you. Believe that he said, I'm going to command the blessing on you and your storehouse. Amen. And he didn't say just storehouse. He said storehouses, plural. Amen. So you can have more than one. Amen. He'll command the blessing on you and your storehouses and all to which you, and to all to which you set your hand. That'd be your work, right? So again, it's right to work. And those are the two places where he's going to command the blessing. In your storehouses, in what you've saved up, what you've invested there, he'll bless that. Amen. And he will bless the work of your hand, your work, your job, your business. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 12 of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and again, to bless, what? All the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And again, God wants us to be in a position where we're the lenders, not the borrowers. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what he said he would do for his people. Amen. Hallelujah. So again, don't work harder. Work blessed. He's going to bless all the work of your hands. So, well, I just work a little harder. Well, again, you may need to, depending on what level of work you're doing. Amen. You may need to move a little bit out of slow speed to faster speed or whatever. But again, it doesn't all depend on you. Amen. Amen. Expect and believe that God is working for you and working with you, and his blessing is over you. Amen. Yeah. You know, we hear people say this, work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God. Anybody heard that? Work like it all depends on you. Pray like it all depends on God. I don't quite think that's right. I disagree. Yes, we should work, but I'm not going to work like it all depends on me. I'm going to work knowing that the blessing of God is over my life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Work, but expect. Expect that blessing. Expect the blessing of the Lord. See, the children of Israel, as we look at this verse here, let's go back to the first part of the verse there, Kim. The Lord will open for you his good treasure, the heavens, to do what? Give the rain to your land in its season. So what'd they have to do? They were an agrarian society and culture, so they had to. That's how they made their living, was from the ground and from the crops that they planted. So they had to go up and they had to prepare the ground. They had to break up the fallow ground. They had to cultivate the ground and get it ready for planting. Then they had to plant the seed. They had to do that part. But then once they did that, they were totally dependent. They would not have a harvest if there was no rain, right? And they couldn't generate the rain. They had to totally depend on the Lord to send the rain. Amen? So we have our part to play, but then we depend on God to do what we can't do. Amen? Are you seeing this today? Amen. So without rain, they couldn't have a harvest. Rain was the blessing of the Lord on their land. The Lord's going to open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless the work of your hand. Well, they had prepared the ground, they'd planted the seed, but when that rain came, that was literally the blessing of the Lord on their seed, on their crop. It would cause that crop to grow. It would cause that crop to mature where they could have a harvest. Yes. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Again, that was something they couldn't produce apart from God. They were dependent on God. Now again, who was the blessing available to? Was it something random? Was it luck? No, it makes it very clear here in Deuteronomy 28, if we read the earlier verses, which we won't take time to do, but Deuteronomy 28 begins with Moses admonishing the people to faithfully follow the Lord and walk in His ways. He said, if you'll faithfully follow God, if you'll faithfully follow the Lord, if you'll walk in His ways, then these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Amen? So they had to position themselves by following the Lord and by walking in His ways. And when they did that, then they could expect His blessing to be over them. Amen? Just like He says in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 10, concerning the tithe, He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in My house. And try Me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not do what? Open for you the windows of heaven. Well, what again, we know from Deuteronomy, that's the rain. Again, they were planting their crops and doing all that, they're doing their part. But then when they tithe, they were positioning themselves. Then also when they tithe, they're recognizing, you know, if it's just all about me, if it's just all about my labor and what I can do, and I'm producing this, and then I'm going to begrudge that 10%. Why should I give God 10%? I've worked for all this. I've produced this. Well, He said, be careful in Deuteronomy 8. He said, be careful, don't you say that, and you think that your hand, the might of your hand and your power has gained you this wealth. Because it's the Lord, we looked at this last week, it's the Lord your God that gives you power to get wealth. And tithing was a reminder of that. When they tithe, and when we do it today, it's a reminder that everything I have comes from God, that I'm blessed because of God. And when they tithe, that kept them under that blessing. Amen. Amen. It positioned them, tithing positioned them for the blessing. And it works the same today. Amen. Because they recognize in the tithing, they're acknowledging, you know, without God, I would have nothing. Without God sending the rain, we wouldn't have a crop. Amen? All right. And so Malachi 3:10, He says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in My house, and try Me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it. And then another aspect of this blessing was protection. He says in verse 11, He says, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. So again, for them to have a harvest, not only did they need rain, but they also, once the crop started producing, they needed protection, you know, from locusts and from other pests and from disease that would come in and ravage the crops, right? They needed that aspect as well, didn't they? In order to have a full harvest and an abundant harvest. God said, well, I'll deal with that part. My blessing over you will take care of that too. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord upon Israel, because of that, was to be so clear and so evident that all the nations around them would acknowledge these people are blessed. And the blessing of the Lord ought to be over our lives that same way. Amen. Amen. In verse 12, He says, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Well, all nations aren't going to call them blessed. The Gentile nations around them weren't going to call them blessed unless they could see it with their eyes. Unless there was some evidence of it. Amen? Amen? Let's look at the book of Psalms. In Psalm 115 and verse 12, it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. You know, that means He's thinking about you. That means His mind is full of you. Amen? God's mind, His are full of thoughts about you. And they're not thoughts about how to, you know, keep you in line or, you know, bring you down or punish you. They're thoughts of blessing. I know the thoughts I think toward you, He says in Jeremiah, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will, what? He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's he going to bless? Anybody that will fear him, both small and great. Say, well, you know, if I just had, you know, this blessing's only for those really important. But no, no, no. It's for all of us, both small and great. It's for anybody that will expect it. It's for anybody that will believe for it. It's for anybody that will position themselves to receive it. Thank God. Amen. And here's what's going to happen. The next verse, verse 14, may the Lord give you increase. More and more, you and your children. I pray this over my family. I've shared this with you before, constantly, daily. And Lord, thank you for increase for me and for my children. I thank you, Lord, number one, for spiritual increase. I thank you that we're increasing in the knowledge of God. I thank you that we're increasing in our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Thank you for spiritual increase, more and more, for me and my children. And thank you, Lord, for financial increase. Thank you that you're increasing us financially in the name of Jesus. And thank you for this third one, that you're increasing us in our influence for good and for righteousness. Amen. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. I know we've looked primarily in the Old Testament here. So is this for us in the New Covenant? You know, again, some people say, well, that's just, you know, that's just Old Testament. We said, you know, we talked last week, you know, we pointed out that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant, which means everything that the old had plus more. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Galatians 3:13, though, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Can somebody say praise God? Praise having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And we shout about that, and we should. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But that's just part of the story. That's just the first half. He's redeemed us from the curse. The next verse says that, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Everything we've been reading about so far is the blessing of Abraham. Deuteronomy 28 is the blessing of Abraham. Everything that we've read, all these promises of blessing, that's the blessing of Abraham. And here we get it nailed down right here that Christ has redeemed us from the curse, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles who are in Christ Jesus. So anybody that's in Christ, anybody that has come to faith in Jesus Christ, this blessing is over you too. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Say, well, Pastor, see, that just says we just get the Spirit. Well, I believe that that's talking, you could interpret it that way, that it's the promise of the Spirit. But the blessing of Abraham was not just a promise of the Spirit. It was a promise that the Holy Spirit gave to Abraham. That's another way to read that. That the promise given to Abraham by the Spirit comes upon us through faith. And that promise included financial prosperity. Material blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:29 says, and if you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. So that promise is upon us. Amen. Genesis 39. We'll wrap it up here. In Genesis 39, the blessing of the Lord, one aspect of, there's a lot we could say about it, but I was impressed and led to go this way. Genesis 39, one part of the blessing of the Lord is God's favor over your life. Amen. The blessing of the Lord is God's favor. We can expect to have God's favor over our life. Don't say anymore, well, that nothing good ever happens to me, or that might happen for other people, but that couldn't happen to me. Expect that God's favor is over you. Expect that doors of opportunity open for you. Amen. Expect that. Amen. Expect that good things are coming your way. Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Now, of course, this is talking about Joseph in the Old Testament. And Joseph is where? Joseph is in Egypt. And how did he get to Egypt? He was sold by his brothers into slavery. So the blessing of the Lord doesn't mean that you won't have attacks. The blessing of the Lord doesn't mean that the enemy won't come against you. The blessing of the Lord doesn't mean that you might experience some difficulty in life. But look at what happened to Joseph. It says, who was with him? The Lord. The Lord. Look, go back to verse 2 for a second, Kim. Who was with Joseph?
The Lord.
The Lord was with Joseph. And what happened because of the Lord being with him? He was a successful man. When the Lord is with you, it brings success. Amen. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. It was evident to Potiphar, his master, that the Lord was the one that was making Joseph successful and prosperous. Praise God. The Lord did that. Verse 4, so Joseph found what?
Favor
in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. Verse 5, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Amen. You know, the Lord could bless the company that you work for just for your sake, just because you're there. They may be heathen. They may not know God. But because you're there, the Lord could bless that company for your sake.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Because he's interested in blessing you.
Yes.
Amen. That blessing was on Joseph. And for it to be fully manifested, it had to come on to Pharaoh's household. All right. That the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord, the favor of God can rest on our lives today. Amen. Even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of being sold into slavery, later falsely accused and being put into prison, Joseph kept rising to the top. Hallelujah. You can't keep a good man, you can't keep a blessed man down. You can't keep a person down that the blessing of the Lord is over their life. They'll keep rising to the top.
Amen.
They'll keep rising to the top. And the blessing of the Lord is over your life. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to keep rising to the top.
Right.
We're going to name you Bob. We got Bob right back here. Why? Because you just keep bobbing up. They try to push you down and you bob up. They try to push you under. You keep bobbing up. Hallelujah. Hi, I'm Bob. Amen. I keep bobbing up. The blessing of the Lord is over my life. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let me summarize this for you. The blessing of the Lord is something real. Amen.
Amen.
It's something real. And it'll do what? It'll make you rich. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Amen. The blessing of the Lord, the purpose of it, one aspect of it, is to make us rich.
Amen.
To give us a full supply. Amen. And the blessing of the Lord will do for you what you can't do and what you could never produce for yourself.
Amen.
That's why you need it.
Amen.
And that's why no amount of hard work or anything else, intelligence, further education, all those things are good, right? But none of that can take the place of the blessing of the Lord.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
The blessing of the Lord is not random, remember. We can position ourselves for that blessing by walking in God's ways and by honoring Him. And we should expect the blessing of the Lord over our lives. And we should align our words with that blessing. God's saying, I'm trying to bless you. And then we speak words of cursing. In the book of James, James says, my brethren, he said, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. These things ought not so to be. He's not talking about saying four-letter words there, although you shouldn't have that coming out your mouth. What he's talking about is negative words. And then James is talking particularly about over other people, but what about your own life? Do you speak words of cursing over your own life? Well, don't do that. Amen. You're working counter to the blessing of the Lord. God has spoken blessing over your life. Agree with Him. Agree with what God says. Amen. Don't negate, don't short circuit the blessing by speaking negative words, doubt-filled words, defeat-filled words, fear-filled words. Amen. Declare that you're blessed. Declare that you're blessed. In fact, let's say that. Won't you stand up with me and say that? Hallelujah. Say this. Say, the blessing of the Lord is over my life. I am blessed. The blessing of Abraham has come upon me because I'm in Christ Jesus. And I am redeemed from the curse of the law. The Lord blesses me. The Lord gives me increase. More and more. Me and my children, my household. I'm increasing spiritually. I'm increasing financially. And I'm increasing in my influence for good and for righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You can sit back down for a minute. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. And I want to ask right here in the auditorium with heads bowed, with eyes closed for just a moment here. Is there anybody here in our auditorium or anybody joining us on YouTube as well? We've got folks watching us live streaming on YouTube right now. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. The blessing of Abraham, it says, comes on the Gentiles who are in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, you can get in Christ Jesus today in just a moment. It's not a long, drawn-out process. Just by saying yes to Jesus, just by putting your trust and faith in Him, the Bible says that we are in Christ Jesus when we believe on Him as our Lord and Savior. So with heads bowed, with eyes closed for just a moment, and you on YouTube as well, you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor David, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never received Him as my Lord and Savior. But I want to receive Jesus. I want to make Him the Lord of my life. I realize that I need a Savior. I realize that I can't save myself. Hard work won't take the place of the blessing of the Lord. And trying to do good deeds can never add up to or can never take the place of the sacrifice of His life and His blood that Jesus made for us on the cross. I can't do enough good works to save myself. I can't do enough good works to get myself good enough to make it into heaven. I'll continually fall because God's standard is perfection. But there was one who met that standard. And there was one who died in our place and shed His blood and went to the cross as our substitute. And that's Jesus Christ. That's the Son of God. And if we'll put our faith in Him, if we'll believe that He is who He says He is, that He's the Son of God, that He died for our sins, and He was raised from the dead the third day, if we'll put our faith in that, and if we'll acknowledge that in our heart and life, and we'll ask Him to come in and wash away our sin and to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, then we'll have eternal life, and we'll be in Christ, and therefore under the blessing. So I want to ask you now, with heads bowed, with eyes closed, is there anybody here in the auditorium you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to do that. I want to make Jesus my Lord. I want to be in Christ.